Welcome to the Pop Punk Emo Supremo podcast. You got two hosts. One of them is sitting across from me. Of course, you can't see that. His name is Hunter.
Hello.
Oh, that was a good Miss Doubtfire impression.
Did you like that?
Hello there. Hello. I'm your second host, Mr. Roper Crippen.
It's like Gumby or whatever.
Pokey, probably, from Gumby.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
Have you ever seen the... the dubbed over Gumby videos?
No, thank God I haven't.
Oh man, they're fucking great. Anyways, we've got an awesome episode for you guys today.
It's true.
We interviewed our friend Christian from Settle Your Scores.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, that was a great interview.
I had such a fun time talking to so Christian. Nice. It was actually one of my bucket list interviews.
Oh.
I have wanted to, if you check back on all of our notes, there was a list of people that we wanted to interview, and Christian was one of them.
Yeah.
So that was awesome. I was really stoked about that, and he was super cool, super nice, great guy. Learned a bit. That was always cool, and I think it'll be a fun and interesting episode for everybody. But first, Roper, we ask a question.
We do.
To our audience, every single week. Make sure to comment on this. We want to talk to you guys.
Yeah.
And we said, what is your favorite Settle Your Scores song? A simple one.
Simple question, yes.
Simple question. Roper, now please, enlighten us.
Our Empty Space friends, the Empty Space podcast, they had said, Life, A Fate Worse Than Death was their favorite Settle Your Scores song.
I wonder if that's both of them or just Batchy.
Probably just Batch.
Probably just Batchy.
I don't think Steve does social media at all.
Yeah, probably not. Smart guy.
Yeah.
Smart guy. Ran Out of Friends asked what our favorite Know the Score song is.
Ooh, hitting us with a question with a question.
Oh, interesting. I would probably say Boot Scoot and Boogie.
Oh, mine was going to be Neon Moon.
Neon Moon? I like that one too. Yeah, we don't know that band.
Nobody's supposed to know that, Hunter.
Yeah. Oh, my bad. Yeah. I spoiled it.
All right, and then my cousin commented late on last week's post, and he said the question was, what song was ruined by your ex?
Oh.
And he had said Rump Shaker by Rex and Effect was their song. Now that she's gone, he can't zoom, zoom, zoom in any boom, boom, boom.
I think that this is only funny to me because it's funny to you.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Well, I think he meant to do it to shitpost, but he didn't realize that he'd actually pop up on the podcast.
Yeah, so. What an idiot. That's Roper's cousin.
That's where you get Justin for shitposting.
Wait, how old is Justin?
Justin is 11 years older than me.
Oh, I think I could say 11.
No.
Justin is 11.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
That would be great. I would love to have our own little 11-year-old shitposter.
I have to think.
Mixed feelings on for you.
Yeah, I don't know. I think about my cousins that are 11, and I don't know if they should listen to our show at all.
Oh, yeah. Why? Because of our little cum comedy, cum, cum, cum?
Yeah, our cum jokes.
I'm still proud of that.
I got over the word cum.
Oh, he can finally do it now. That's nice. You know what else we can do, Roper?
New releases.
We could do our new releases. Let's fucking go.
This week was a little light for us. I didn't see a lot that stuck out to me besides I'm really starting to get into Bearings' new song, Get the Need. First listen, it sounded exactly like Hey Jealousy by the Gin Blossoms. Hunter said he didn't hear it, but
I didn't hear it at all.
Once the vocals come in, you could change the words out and it'll be the same exact song.
I'll have to like actually look into it with that. Yeah. I listened to it. It was kind of meh for me.
Yeah.
I feel like I just had this vendetta against the band now.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
As you described last week.
Yeah. Oops. But I still hope for their success. And I think that their last album was killer.
It was really good.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that whenever a band releases a single, like I always walk into it really like weary, I guess you could say, because like you don't know if the full record's going to sound like that song. And also you don't But, like, that's all you have to go off of. Yeah, so if you don't like that song, you're like, fuck, I'm not going to like the next record.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to put out a new record so soon after putting out that. Because their last
year,
their last one came out probably exactly a year ago, because it's right when we started. Actually, no, it'd be closer to November if it was exact.
Yeah, I think that's like, yeah. I remember it being cold out when it
came out. Because we talked about it on, like, our second episode.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was... Yeah, that was a while ago. I mean, I feel like they had some time to be quiet, but like some of these bands, like, just they feel like they have to get these, like, a new record out. Like,
and they're still small enough that they're working like part time jobs and stuff too.
This. So they're I fucking hate my part time job. I'm going to release more music so I don't have to do this
exactly.
Anymore.
And that's probably the best way to get out of your part time job.
It's true.
That or just set it on fire and quit.
You know what that sounds like?
Arson.
A front bottom song.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of which.
Speaking of arson.
Yeah, the front bottoms released a new song. It's called Lover Boy. Now I'm acting like a lover boy. Trying to be smooth, smooth, smooth. And now I'm acting like a lover boy. And now I'm missing you. Hey, got me acting like a tough guy. Trying to be cool, cool, cool. You got me acting like a tough guy. And now I'm missing you. Gotta say, I like this. I've liked the direction. The front bottom's released quite a few singles lately. I haven't heard anything about a new record. I'm sure it's on the way. But every single kind of has its own little vibe to it.
Did they put out a new record last year too?
They did.
Okay.
And it was fantastic. Yeah. It was like one of my favorite releases of the year probably. I don't remember if it made my top five or
I think
not.
It did.
It probably did.
Talking about it.
Yeah, I loved it. If you guys want to listen to a 3-hour episode, then you can let us know what my top five were.
Yeah, I think the top five this year, we're going to have to just name our top five albums and not talk about three songs separately.
We've learned a lot since then.
We have.
We learned that the fact that our episodes are as long as they are now is. That's something that we'd like to improve on, which we'll actually bring up later. But anyway, Front Bottoms, Lover Boy, good song.
Yeah.
Happy to hear the Front Bottoms again. I really feel like they've kind of got this like weird production-y sound that like actually fits them as a band.
Yeah.
I think people are starting to get more and more into it because a lot of people like really raw Front Bottoms, and I can't blame them for that because I do as well. But for whatever the production, like I feel like a lot of people thought that the production ruined the band. And for me, I feel like they're really getting into a stride of releasing consistent good music with that new production style.
That's a good thing to find, though. They probably like have bounced around with producers and stuff.
Probably.
And trying to find that good.
You gotta, it's so sound. It'd be so hard to find a band or a producer for the Front Bottoms.
Yeah.
Because they're so fucking weird.
They're so unorthodox.
You'd have to like, I think your best bet is if you went to like a middle school and this one kid was just starting to get into production but was actually kind of good.
Yeah.
And then they were like, we want to work with you.
Yeah.
14-year-old Billy.
Fucking wizard.
Come here, wizard boy. Anyway.
Wizard Billy.
We got some other notable releases.
State Champs put out a song called Out of My Head.
I haven't heard that one yet.
I like the first single that came out more.
Yeah.
This one kind of fell under the same... like, when they put out their last album, they put out Dead and Gone right away. I was like, I hate this. And this is kind of... It isn't as bad as that for me. But
is it
was,
like a produced thing with that?
It's one of the like a day to remember things where their chorus is literally out of my head, out of my head.
Oh no!
It's like, come on, guys. I know you guys are good.
I feel like once you write so many songs, you're like, fuck this shit. People will listen if I just repeat the same line.
Yeah.
It's like, stop being lazy. Come on. You can write actual good music. And
but
good
then
songs.
there is bands that can actually. Write more than one word and put out records on records.
I know.
Not saying that State Champs doesn't know how to do that, but they're starting to fall in this pocket sound.
Yeah, I feel like they're coasting.
Yeah.
And you know what sucks? Because I really felt like they were going to be one of the greats.
I still think they are right now.
Really? You think they're like in the greats of modern day pop punk?
I think so.
I guess for me, I feel like they've really fallen lately. Ever since Around the World and Back came out. Like, that was
that
a
was
highlight
such a
moment.
Good record.
Yeah, and then they dropped the most recent one, and it was okay. It was like a C+,
B-.
minus.
That one had to grow on me. I had to find some
exactly.
songs.
Exactly. Like, there's some lines in that where I was like, I find myself singing to randomly.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a bad record. I just don't think it's like, I feel like they lost some of that magic.
Yeah, and his voice, I don't know if he's singing differently or now, but it sounds a little bit different than the earlier records.
Hmm.
So
yeah, I'll have to get this one to listen.
Yeah.
Real Friends re-released the song Teeth as a full band.
Got the full band. I haven't heard this one yet.
I listened to it. It's the best way I can describe it is usually what happens is you'll have a full band song, and if they're gonna re-release a song, they strip it down into an acoustic
set.
Yeah,
they did the opposite.
Exactly. So they had an acoustic song and then they like build it up to be a rock song, and I gotta be honest with you, the acoustic song is about 5 times better.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk about it because I think it's an interesting way of doing it, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a wrong way to do it, but I think it was meant to be an acoustic song.
Yeah.
And then like the, you remember the part where it goes, ooh,
yeah,
ooh. Okay, well, so that sounds like shit in the in like the full band version at to the point where I was like, you should just fucking took it off.
Yeah.
And there's it doesn't feel like it works well.
Yeah.
I'd love other people's opinions on this. I was really hoping I'd like this a lot more than I did, but it's fine. Then 4 Year Strong released a cover song, Bittersweet Sympathy.
It's Symphony.
Right. Symphony. Sympathy. Symphony.
Simpy.
Simpy Boys.
Little Simpy Boys.
The 4 Year Strong Simpy Boys released Bittersweet Symphony.
I haven't listened to this one, but I don't like the original song anyways, so.
I mean, I wasn't really a fan of it either. I think it's a really interesting pick for them. Like, why? Like, what made them, where they were like, you know what, guys, we need to really sit down and do this cover of Bittersweet Symphony.
I've been thinking about this since the song came out. We can make it 10 times better.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I wonder if the only reason I don't like it is because, or not that I don't like it, but the only reason that doesn't interest me more, they released like that album that was just cover songs.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Yeah.
And so I feel like this isn't a step up I kind of feel like it's a step down.
Yeah.
I'd love for them to do it again and release another cover song album, but this one just didn't do it for me.
Yeah.
Which is disappointing because I love 4 Year Strong. So
yeah.
This is a very disappointing week. Yeah, gotta say.
We got a good interview though.
We got a good
Don't leave. Don't leave us.
Okay. Anyway, so I like to mention that we steal all this information from the Pop Punkers on Reddit.
Yeah, we do.
A weekly list of new music from all of our favorite bands. And so I salute them and I want to give them a little shout out, and it helps you guys find new music by new bands. And find new music from some of your favorites that you might have missed. I didn't fucking realize State Chance released a song this week, and now I do. Anyway, also, Roper...
That's me.
...curates the best pop-punk Spotify playlist on Spotify. And it is awesome.
Updated,
I love listening to it.
Updated weekly.
Updated a weekly.
Yep.
It's fantastic. Highly recommend if you guys like to... We integrate a lot of the songs we play from the episode into... the curated playlist. So,
and then I like to add some that I haven't heard before. Well, obviously I've heard it, but that are new finds
just
for me.
Blindly.
Yeah. But I had heard this song by this band called Better Off called Reap What You Sow. That song fucking slaps. That's going to be on the playlist this week.
Oh, shit.
What else? Oh, this song called Dandelions by Dear Youth. I'm going to put that on this week.
You guys have so much to look forward to.
Yeah.
But, Roper.
Yeah.
I feel like it's time.
It is time.
It's time we fucking get to this.
Yes. I can't tell it myself. I'm so upset with myself. And I just my makers. I can't tell it myself. I'm so upset with myself. It's a chance I'll take. So I'll break down these walls. I build so tall. To hide myself from everyone else. But I found out to smile down. That I was born for this.
Settle Your Scores is a pop punk easycore rock band from Cincinnati, Ohio, combining intense guitars, aggressive drums, thick bass, and smooth yet powerful vocals. Settle Your Scores hits the scene with their newest record, Retrofit. Please welcome the vocalist, Christian. Not even a hi.
I didn't know if you guys were going to... I didn't know if there was going to be a little soundbite or something. Hey, guys.
Hey, we're
thanks
pretty...
Thanks for that really cool intro.
Pretty professional. But I saw that you were just on the Pop Punk and Pizza podcast, And then so now he's like already outshowing us.
Yep.
Dude, Jacques is a really cool guy. I liked him a lot. You guys, I mean, I think I've seen you guys on Facebook like floating around every once in a while. But yeah, that was a cool intro. I like that. That sounded really badass.
Oh, dude, I wrote it too. So I was pretty proud of myself.
Epic. When you said thick, I thought like thick.
That's what I was going for.
Like two C's. Two C's and Q-U-E.
Oh, I kind of want to jump into some standard questions here that you probably answered a million times. But just for the people who don't know you, what was your introduction to the scene of like the pop punk, easy core, emo, all of that?
I was thinking about this the other day because someone asked me like a similar question. And like, I started playing bass when I was like 13. That was like my introduction to playing music. And I'd always liked music growing up, but you know, I was like, well, why don't I just like play it too? Like, I like it enough. I should try to play it. So I started playing bass for like an eighth grade talent show, like band. We got together and we were going to play like one song for the eighth grade talent show. So I started practicing bass and then we played the song. It was really cool. And then I was like, wow, I really like bass. Maybe guitar is fun. So I started playing electric guitar. And then I was like, wow, singing looks really fun. So I started screaming. I started screaming along to like old Under Oath songs. And then I was like, wow, some of these guys can scream and sing. So then I tried to learn how to sing. And then I've been in a lot of bands before Settle Your Scores, like more than you could count. Like I did a bunch of auditions too. But then I finally saw a Craigslist post for some of the first Settle Your Scores demos before it was Settle Your Scores. Our guitarist Ricky posted them back in like 2014. And so I auditioned for that band and then the rest is history. Just started on Craigslist, nice. Baby.
Yeah, you don't hear too many people starting off with bass. Usually it's like guitar or something like that.
Yeah. Well, the reason I started on bass is like the band for the eighth grade talent show, the guys had every position covered. They're like, yeah, we have like three guitarists. We have a drummer and a singer. And I was like, well, what about bass? Because like I knew what a bass was, but I didn't know like the function of it like live. And so I learned. And then I still love playing bass. I just don't have one anymore. Whenever I see someone with a bass, I like start slapping on it. I love bass.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah, I finally a lead vocalist that respects the bassist, you know. Yeah.
Dude, I respect all the members, man. As a vocalist, I do the least amount of work. I just get up there, I don't have any gear, I just plug in and start singing, man.
It's like, are you guys ready or what?
There is a stereotype that vocalists don't move gear, but I will proudly say that I help move gear for everybody, not just our band, but if other bands need help, I will help. So I will vouch for some vocalists. I've seen some other vocalists jumping in there and moving gear too. It's not just me.
Oh yeah.
Good guy Christian over
paying
here.
Paying it forward.
I'm just such a good guy.
Yeah. Modern
I talk
Christian
about it
value.
All the time.
Yeah. You guys not know how awesome I am?
Josh.
All right. Next question for you. What inspired you to start writing music? I know you had said the eighth grade talent show, but.
Yeah, man. I guess like make my own music. I mean, just feeling, man, like when you feel a certain way, I would say writing songs is like one of the best ways you can express yourself, especially with like negative emotion. Me personally, like all the songs that I write, they're actually not like, I don't really write much for Settle Your Scores. That's all Ricky, our guitarist. He writes 99% of everything. But the stuff I write is like all negative emotion. I would say that is like the main driver, is like an outlet, just like performing and songwriting in general. It's so good.
Yeah, there's something about, to me, it's kind of like a puzzle piece, right? Like when you kind of put it all together and it starts to finally fit.
So I
completely agree with it being like the best way to like get out your emotions. Oh, yeah. And like a productive and like actual creative way as well, you know?
Yep. Right. Absolutely. Like it's, I don't know. I've been writing for a long time and now, actually this year is like probably the first year I'll actually release like my own solo music. I'm working on some solo stuff too right now, but nice. It's definitely always a good outlet. Even if you don't release it, just like writing things down and playing.
Absolutely. Are you going to put that under like your actual name or do you have like a stage name for that as well?
So I have, it's, I think it's a tentative name right now, but the name I have for it is Blades. but the A is not an A. It's an upside down A. It's a V. So it's like super 2011 metalcore. Yeah. So it's like BLVDES. And it looks really cringe. But like at the same time, like I think that'd be kind of funny to like release it and make it seem really serious because it's serious music. But like just make it like a super cringe name with like the upside down, the V instead of an A.
That's awesome. There you go. Are you going to have like the album artwork to be like super happy, like clowns or something?
I don't know. I'm like still dabbling with how I want to market it all. Like the music itself is very dark. It's very serious. Like there's nothing funny about it, but like me as a person, I don't take myself that seriously. Like I just like, I just do shit. And then if people like it, sweet, if they don't, whatever, like if it's a meme, it's a meme. If it's not, it's not. But, I'll do marketing pretty seriously. I don't think I'll do like jokey stuff because it is, it's like really deep emotional stuff that I wrote.
Absolutely. Yeah. So listen to some podcasts. I've already kind of grasped what you're going for when it comes to musical influences, but like who would you say are some big ones and maybe some like lesser known musical influences?
For Settle Your Scores, for all of us, like across the board, all the band members, like 4 Year Strong for sure, City Lights, The Starting Line. If you're talking like less known, I don't know if you guys have heard of Can't Bear This Party. I think they're an Italian easycore band. They're like really heavy on synth. They're really freaking good. For me personally, like as a vocalist and as just like an instrumentalist trying to play bass and guitar, growing up, like Avenged Sevenfold was huge when it came to guitar. Like that's one of my favorite bands ever. And then vocally, Under Oath for sure. Like Spencer and Aaron's vocals, when I was younger, I thought that that was one person, so I was like, I want to do that, but then I found out it was two people. And I guess if we're thinking like most of my influences, like for my personal stuff, are just really well-known bands, just because that's the kind of stuff that I'm into. I like the kind of more mainstream like scene bands.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the guy from Chunk No Cabin Chunk, like he's got like the heavy vocals and the clean vocals and kind of like,
hell yeah.
And
Bert's the man.
Oh dude, Bert's so fucking cool. Every time he like speaks on a podcast or an interview, it always freaks me out. Cause I'm like, oh yeah, you're definitely French, you know, but when he's singing, I'm like, oh, just like completely like, just completely.
I was going to say they lose their accent like a little more each time they release. Their most recent record, you cannot tell that they're from France, like at all. No. Like unless you knew that prior. God, I love Chunk. They're sick.
Dude, fucking Chunk. Was their newest record your favorite release from them?
It wasn't my favorite. I think it's just because Chunk for me is a really nostalgic band. Like back in the day when they released Hey Dude, Are You Ready Dude? Like that was the anthem. That was the anthem for everybody. Like, even if you didn't know that music that well, like, you knew, Hey, Dudes, Are You Ready To? Like, that line, that's an iconic line.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. It's not that I disliked the newest record. The other ones are nostalgic for me, so they kind of have, like, a higher place in my heart, if that makes sense. Yeah,
absolutely. There's something about, because Haters Gonna Hate was, I think, the first song that made me fall in love with them. And I was like, okay. I mean,
they're
so
dope.
Oh man, they're so fun, you know? They're fun and like they can get serious and they can have like those really like sappy songs and I'm like, God damn, they did it again. You know?
So, I don't think they've had a bad record. Like that's the thing. I don't think they've ever had a bad record. I enjoy all of them. They're so dope.
I know. And they were gone for how long, right? Since
a long time. I thought that their band was done forever.
Yeah. Well, they released that that song in the summer, Blame It On This Song, and I was like, oh, a new record's coming, and then it was 5 years later.
Yeah. Yeah, they pulled a fast one, which was actually a really slow one. Like, that shit took so long. Well, the thing is, from what I know, they were focusing on, they have like a studio over there fans go to. I think they were focusing on just like making some extra cash recording, because they recorded some pretty good stuff. One band that we toured with, Sink the Ship, I'm pretty sure they recorded some of their stuff over there. And it was like really, really high quality stuff. It sounded great.
Yeah. So wait, so did they do all the recording for their newest record then?
I'm not sure. Cause I like I said, I thought they were done. So I kind of like stopped following their stuff. I was like, well, RIP, I guess I'll just listen to these old songs forever.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh fuck, new album. And I haven't like dove into it like hardcore yet, but I listened through. I would assume to save on recording costs they recorded themselves, because their stuff is high quality, but yeah. I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
Yeah, they're such a fucking talented band.
Yeah.
I wish I was talented.
Hey, you, yeah, we stop that over there.
I mean, if I could record myself, that'd be really cool.
You got a mic right there, man.
Yeah, there you go. That's all you need.
This bad boy is trash. This would not be good for singing vocals.
As you see,
this
like
is a,
fucking
this is a pod 58. Mic. Like $30 on Amazon.
Ooh.
Big bucks.
What is the origin, or how'd you guys land on Settle Your Scores as a band name?
So we just had like a round robin. We were like, okay, everybody write down five really cool band names that you think are cool, and we're going to put all of the lists in one like mega list and just narrow it down five by five. So it was 25 names. We chopped five off each round, and then we got to five. The only two that I remember that stuck out was Scale Your Walls and then Settle Your Scores. And I don't remember why we picked Settle Your Scores. I think we were just like, man, that sounds cool. But at the time, Set Your Goals was still pretty relevant. So a lot of people were like, aren't you weirded out? That's going to sound like Set Your Goals. And a lot of people asked us that, like, are you guys like super influenced by them? And we were like, kind of, but we just like the name, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you guys just settled on Settle Your Scores.
We settled on it for sure. I think Scale Your Walls would have been kind of cool. I feel like that would have had a lot of cool imagery, but I don't know. Scale Your Walls just sounds kind of weird, but I don't know. Settle Your Scores has gotten us this far.
Yeah.
All right. So now that we have pretty much gotten through the basic stuff, I figured we can kind of jump into the overall record. So overall, with everything regarding Retrofit, where did the name come from?
So, like I was saying before, Ricky, our guitarist, he's like a songwriting mastermind. He pretty much, whenever we have an album or he has an album idea, he has like a whole theme and like transitions and just everything lined up in his head. So he had a bunch of the songs written for Retrofit while we were in the album cycle for Better Luck Tomorrow. And his whole theme was, you know, it's this old school sound. It's like 2004, 2005 pop punk, emo, whatever you want to call it. But it's going to sound fresh and it's going to sound like high recording quality and it's going to be nostalgic, but it's going to be new. So if you look up Retrofit in like the dictionary, I'm pretty sure it means like when you take an old part and you fit it to make a new machine or like a new process.
Yeah.
So that was kind of his like brainchild, was like, all right, I'm going to take this really cool, nostalgic, old school sound and then make it new, which is, you know, kind of the whole premise of the record is nostalgia. It's, you know, thinking about the old days of like 1999 and, you know, playing pop punk and like faux hawks and shit. So I guess that was kind of his whole like brain process was, I'm going to take old school and make it new school.
Very cool. Right. Yeah, I guess I never knew Retrofit was like an actual word.
Yeah.
And now dude, I didn't either until he pitched it to us. And then it was really funny because when we were like getting all the album art and stuff together, I was actually in the process of moving into a new house. So I was going to Home Depot like every goddamn day, like literally every day getting stuff. And everything I looked at, it was like retrofit, like light bulbs, pipes, like everything. I was like, this makes sense now. It's all full circle. It's fitting together.
That's also like a sign though, right? You're like seeing a word that you've never seen before, is like when this is all kind of coming together.
Oh yeah, dude. It was super cool. And I mean, like I said, Ricky is just like in my brain, like I worship that dude. He is so talented. I wish I had like an ounce of his talent. He can play guitar. He can play bass. He can write songs. He can sing, he can scream. Like all the demos that he sends over to us, he records everything. It's like a full song. And then we'll just like add stuff in as we go. Like he makes most of it. And then our bass player, Jeff, he writes like one song per album. So I got to shout out Jeff too. He's super talented and he records all the demos with us.
What song did he write for this one?
He wrote Genitools.
Okay. Genitools. I don't know. I just having it said out loud, I was like, oh.
We seriously like debated like what do we call it, and then we just never came to a conclusion. We're like, all right, fine, let's just keep the demo name Genitools.
Where'd you guys record Retrofit at?
We recorded with Nick Ingram at Capitol House Studio. We recorded The Wilderness there, our first album. And then we recorded a couple other tracks with him. We did the second My Reason to Come Back Home version, the electric one. And then we did some covers with him too. And that's where I recorded my solo music too. I recorded up at Capitol House. He's a really, really great recording studio / engineer. He doesn't take on as many clients as he used to because he's actually developing and selling. It's like a drum plugin called Drum Daddy, and it's freaking dope. He actually engineered the drums on the record, the newest Beartooth record.
Oh, shit.
So check his stuff out. Check out Capitol House and then check out Drum Daddy. Right. He's got some good shit.
Is that located in Cincinnati or?
So Capitol House is actually in Columbus. That's like 2 hours north of Cincy. So it's, you know, not super far.
Gotcha. What was the overall writing process like for Retrofit? I know that you said your guitarist was kind of the main guy for that, but
for sure. So basically it was, like I said, during our second album cycle with Better Luck Tomorrow, Ricky would just send us an email every few weeks. Hey guys, got another song. And then we'd all respond like, damn, it's a banger. Sweet. And then, you know, he wrote like 99% of everything. And then we came together and practiced all the songs. You know, we would tweak them and say like, hey, this part doesn't sound very good live. Or, hey, what if we added like a couple oohs and ahs here? You know, just, you know, kind of collaborating on that stuff. And then in the studio, we added a little bit more to like some percussion and just kind of like some afterthought stuff. But yeah, Ricky's he's the mastermind, man. He's the songwriting guru.
Do you know like what his process is? Like, how does he kind of start a song? Or
I'm pretty sure from what he's told me, he usually starts with guitar because he's a guitarist. Mm-hmm. Then he writes the choruses, but usually he says that the lyrics are what come last. So he goes like guitar, melody for the vocals, other instrumentals, and lyrics come. So he usually starts with a chorus from what he's told me, but gotcha. Guitar licks first. I mean, I feel like that's how a lot of songs are written. You start with a riff and then you kind of build.
I just imagine him in his home, but he like goes into like this very small space and just sits and writes until he like fucking,
that's how I literally picture him like in a closet, even though he's not, like he has a really cool setup and a cool computer and stuff. But like, I picture that too, just because like, I feel like, I don't know, just like a cave is where the best songs are made, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
Beat lab.
Did you have any challenges singing on this record? And if you did, what were they?
Dude, yeah. The song that was the most challenging, I guess, like the line. There's like one line specifically. It's in The Way Things Used to Be.
I know exactly what it is.
It's the very last line. Yeah. Where I'm like 17 and I like scream it. Took a lot of takes and we wanted it to sound like harsh, but we wanted the note to be good. And it was like this really weird happy medium that we had to find. And I was like so fucked by the end of that song because I was just screaming 17 like hundreds of times.
Dude, can I just tell you real quick? So I have like a 30-40 minute drive to work every day and I've been banging like this record, most of it. And whenever this song comes on, I get a little fucking irritated because I know at the very end, it's a note I'm not going to be able to hit.
Dude, I can hit that note. So you're if we have to play that song live, like it's going to be like, hey guys, I'm just going to warn you, that last note that you guys enjoy, I don't know about that one. Because
just point rough. The mic at yeah, them. Put, be like, this is all out, you guys.
Yep. Yeah, I might have to because realistically, like, I mean, I could probably do it, but I'd probably tear my vocal cords to shreds and I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. But or maybe I'll just scream it. I don't know. I'll have to think about it.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful note too. Like what I don't like with the happy medium we were going for, because it sounds clean, but it definitely has some like roughness to it. And it's every time I hear it, I'm like, I love it, but I'm also just pissed because I can't fucking be there with it. You know,
that's how I feel whenever Ricky sends demos. I'm like, dude, I have to sing this. Fuck, it's so high. Like, goddamn, give me some like low pop or something.
What is what parts does he sing on in the record?
Ricky, so this record is actually the most Ricky has sang. A lot of the lines are like back and forth between me and him.
Like 1999.
I was going to say, you can hear Ricky on pretty much every song. He actually is like the primary clean vocal for the emo song that we have, Broken Heart Scenario. Like most of those clean vocals are Ricky. Like I was saying before, Ricky has an amazing voice. I'm glad that he's been singing more because he's got pipes. He is an amazing singer.
You're just like, it's time for me to take a break.
Hell yeah.
All right, so I think we're ready to jump into the first song.
All right.
Okay, here we go.
Let's do it.
We got a common one here, or should I say one of the biggest bangers on the record, Meant for Misery. I tried and I tried, but it got me nowhere. My favorite track off the record. Just let the record stand on that.
Let the record stand.
Let the record stand.
What's your perspective on the story? I know that you didn't write it, but you're someone who like has to really sell the emotion.
Yeah.
Right. Well, so a lot of Ricky's songwriting, like the songs sound really happy, but a lot of his lyric content is just, I mean, like the song suggests, very sad, very full of misery. The cool thing about his songwriting is it's really relatable. Like everyone's felt like shit. You know what I mean? Like that's just like a genuinely common theme that everyone has felt before. There are days where you wake up at 3 p.m. and you're just literally like, man, what am I fucking doing? So that was kind of what I tried to convey in the vocals is just like angst, sadness, you know, annoyance. That's just kind of how I pictured, you know, his headspace was just like, man, I got to keep waking up and doing all this shit over and over and over. I don't know. Yeah. And then the video that we did for that song, like the boxing match,
looks so cool. I was really impressed.
Dude, the guys that we filmed with, Alex Zarek and his light technician, they are insanely talented. I would recommend any band hit those guys up for music videos because they go like above and beyond when it comes to filming. They did such a great job. I love those guys.
Just the smoke effects. I think that was like one of the coolest things to me. And it was, I mean, it's kind of like a pop punk staple to like do it in a boxing ring, you know? But I feel like your guys' was probably the best produced one that I had seen.
That was kind of the goal was we want to make it like overly cinematic, but just like kind of goofy. Mm-hmm. I always flex this little factoid because I'm proud of myself. The punches, like that Pat, when Pat was punching me in the face, those were real punches. Like he was actually punching me. So I was like, dude, just fucking do it. Like just fucking punch me in the face and do it. And so, yeah, we try to make it look as like badass as possible with like that little extra humor flair.
Well, what's the campy feel to it?
Yeah, it's definitely campy. Like Jeff, you might remember him as the mustache coach that coached me and was like drinking beer the whole time. Like we were like, let's just make this like stereotypical boxing video, but just like just a little bit over the top goofy.
Do you have any fun facts about this track?
Other than getting socked in
other
the
than
face.
Getting punched right in the face.
That was pretty getting punched in the face was pretty cool. Pat pulled the punches, like so he wasn't hitting me. I guess another factoid was Ricky's friend actually did the makeup on my face. Other than that, I'm trying to think of like other factoids about the song. Ricky did say that his lyrics and like kind of the vocal melodies, they were kind of inspired by hip hop. So like those verses that are really choppy and quick, he said that hip hop was actually like a huge influence for him on that part of the track.
Yeah, there's that really one. Sense. I think it's in the second verse where like it really flows so fucking well. And I was like, hot damn, that's fucking cool.
It definitely took me a minute to get those lines down because it's very fast and it's very like better, but I bet I'd be better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. Yeah. And I was like, damn, was that like an actual like full take or did you have to cut to get that sounding?
I think that line we did do it one take because like it's hard to make that flow chopping it up. But I mean, for the most part, like we would obviously like take lines and chop them and stuff. But I think for that one, I wanted to do one line. I can't remember though.
Gotcha. Do you think this is going to be a song that's your opener for tours?
For now, I'm pretty sure that is what is going to be the opener. Excuse me. Cause whenever we practice, we start with that one. like, all right guys, let's start with one that we like really know. And we always start with that. That was also like one of the first songs that Ricky sent over, for Retrofit when we were doing demos and practicing the new songs, that was the first one, I'm pretty sure. And so it's just always been like that number one, like, all right, Men from Israel, let's do it. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah. No, it's a fucking, like, the way it starts is such it just gets you ready to pump. You know?
I do have another factoid. So at the beginning, where there's those lo-fi drums, you can hear a voice very muffled and it's saying like, settle your scores. So that sound bite is from a video of my brother puking. So we had this after party from after a show, and we were all like fucked up, like shit face wasted, and a bunch of people showed up that we didn't know, and my brother was like trashed. He always gets super trashed at our shows and just like yells like, fuck yeah bro, start your scores. So he was throwing up, and so I filmed him. I was just filming him puking because I thought it was funny. And then he looks up at me and he's like, settle your scores, dude. I can spit. And then he spits in the toilet and say, blah, blah, blah. And then that sound bite that you hear at the beginning of that song is actually my brother throwing up. So if you listen to the song again, like turn it up and listen, you'll hear that lo-fi voice. Definitely. And that's my brother puking.
That's awesome. I love when bands like put like little tiny things like that in their songs to make it more personal.
We try to do it with everything just because like it's fun. You know what I mean? Like even if like no one notices it, we can just be like, hey, remember that little soundbite of JJ throwing up?
All right. So we're going to move on to some lyrics here. But before we do, what lyrics stand out to you the most in Men for Misery?
I think honestly the chorus, I tried and I tried, but it got me nowhere. Recently, like I've just been going through some personal problems. Like sometimes it just feels like you're at a standstill and you just got to keep going. You can't let things get you down, even though the song completely contradicts that and talks about like giving up. But just that overall theme of the song of just like being down. I feel like, you know, everyone's been there. It's very relatable. I like the fact that Ricky puts himself out there and says like, yo, I've literally felt like shit sometimes. Like it's very, very cool.
You know what I think is pretty interesting to me is it seems by the time the bands actually release the music that like maybe a song or an event was inspired by, at that time, like, oh, that's old news. I have new things to be depressed about now. Yeah. You know?
I have a new reason to be miserable. Yeah. All right.
I feel because you have such a time gap in some bands. Like I remember hearing that Retrofit was done a year prior before release. Is that right?
Dude, we had been sitting on those songs for a very long time. Like we had demos for the album like ready to go. We were ready to get more studio time during our second album cycle. So we were going to go, and then Corona came around and we were like, what the fuck do we do? Like, are you allowed to go record? Are you going to get like blacklisted for doing anything? Like we didn't know. So we just kind of like played our cards, you know, put them on the table. And then we were finally like, okay, the world's opening back up. Let's go finish this record. Let's get it out there.
So something I really kind of dig here is I'm always in the eye of the shitstorm, stuck in the epicenter ever since the second I was born, been trying to make the best of the hand that I was dealt. Don't mean to sound bitter, but I'd better off being anybody else. So that was kind of what we were fucking talking about earlier.
Dude, it took me so long to get that. Bitter, but I'd bet. Like when I think about it, it just like scrambles my brain, but like I've muscle memoried it like with a mic. So if I have it down, but like every time I think about the lyric, I'm like, wait, what is the lyric? It's one of those ones, if you think about it, I just fuck it up like every time.
Well, because if you're like going into it singing, it's like muscle memory, 100%. But with that line, I mean, I know that we've talked about it, but I think that's like a line that really stands out to me. And then is there any other part of the song that like maybe is incredibly difficult to perform, but like you really had to like practice to nail it in this one?
I would just say like the verses were a little bit challenging, but like note wise and like range wise, it's comfortable for me to sing. It was just getting those like choppy bitter, but I better be better off. That was definitely the most challenging part. It was like a different style. Like we haven't really had super fast lyrics like that before.
Yeah. But I think it fits you guys really well. Yeah. I hope to see something more like that. Really challenge you on the
sweet. The next album is just hip hop. Let's go. Yeah.
What is there anything else to add to Meant for Misery?
I would just say get ready to hear it live, because we're definitely going to play it live. Like, I love playing that song. It's so fun. I feel like it's just like a good like head bobber to get people warmed up for the live set.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I am too.
All right, we got track number two we picked. I don't think you're going to guess this one, but it's 1999.
Sick.
Someone take me back to 1999.
What's your perspective behind the story of 1999? You guys all kind of grew up in that area or era.
Yep. So we're all 90s kids. I know Ricky and I were born in the same year, 92. So we weren't like fully functioning like teenagers or like old adults when we were in the 90s. So like 99, I was 7 years old. I'm 29. So, but at the same time, remembering that decade is so vivid for me. I think it was because I was a kid. Like everything just, it's all in my brain. Like all the imagery that you see in the video, all the feelings of the song, like there's just like this weird vibe that the 90s had that, you know, only 90s kids got to experience, or I guess people that were growing up or alive during the 90s. But so that was Ricky's main goal with the song, was just to channel everything that we remember being nostalgic about in the 90s and just putting it with that retrofit idea into today. That's kind of what we did with the video and the song.
A lot of references.
Yeah.
Notice. Lots of references, for sure.
Were you a Pokemon kid in the 90s?
I was definitely a Pokemon kid. Yeah, absolutely.
Beautiful.
Pokemon trading card game, the actual video games. I'm not so much into it anymore. Like, a lot of people are still really, really into Pokemon, but dude, the original 150, let's fucking go. Like, I love it. That's the truth right there.
Yeah, I feel you there. Like, the first three gens are where I kind of like,
dude, my yeah. childhood. Yeah. And when they were actually animals, and now it's like a keyring Pokemon that is literally keys or
look
a
at
garbage.
That, garbage yeah. Pokemon. Like, ooh, can't wait to add that. It's fucking
like, okay.
Yeah. And then like they like the newer games are, it's funny because they're demographic was always kids, but those kids grew up loving Pokemon. They're like, oh, let's still market to children. And it's like, come on, right. I feel like make the series grow
There's
up a little bit with
so
them.
Much padding on it too.
Yeah, it's like
that's
I don't
the thing
need...
though is like they could market to adults, but the adults are still buying the kids game. Like,
I know,
the Pokemon
yeah.
is still so famous. Like everybody loves Pokemon. I still like it, you know what I mean? I just don't play the games anymore.
Yeah, it's a little depressing. Lost a little something
childhood.
Right there.
R.I.P.
All right. Do you have any fun facts behind 1999?
So actually, originally, we were talking about how Ricky and I go back and forth on the verses in 1999. It was actually just me. So one of the changes we did make was like, hey, like these lines are like back to back to back. If we do this live, like I'm either going to be out of breath or it's going to sound bad. So we decided, hey, Ricky, like, let's go. And Ricky, he does every other line. So that was actually really, really helpful. And it made the song, I think, feel more nostalgic with that dual vocal, because a lot of bands back then had that. Like you had Blink-182 with Tom and Mark. They were doing that back and forth vocal. Even like Taking Back Sunday, I'm pretty sure they have dual vocals too. Yep. So like that era kind of had that dual vocal style. Other fun facts, we filmed that video in house. So Jeff is our bass player. The original room was like full of furniture and full of a bunch of really cool like Halloween shit, because his is like really into like Halloween and like witchy stuff. And there's a pentagram on the floor in the video, so I don't know if you noticed that either. We had to move like everything, and none of those posters were on the wall. Like we bought all those posters and put them in that position. And then the lights too, we put the lights up. So that room was really cool. I wonder if he still has it like that. I hope he does. I'll have to go back over there.
Yeah. It looked natural. It looked like it was lived in, you know,
that's what we were trying to go for, was kind of like that newfound glory. Like we're playing in a garage, even though it's like in somebody's house. So we tried to get like the posters and make it look like kind of contained.
Yeah, I think you guys really accomplished that. Absolutely. Here's my favorite question in the whole entire interview. Oh,
lay it on me.
Do you think this song is the next 1985?
Dude, a lot of people have been comparing it to that, and that, if anything, is like a huge compliment. Like, I love the fact that people would actually like consider our song to be even close to that good. Like, I love Bowling for Soup and I love 1985. So, mm-hmm. Hey, if that's our claim to fame, yes, we're the next Bowling for Soup. We're the next 1985. I'll take it.
Dude, I'll say this. I've listened to a lot of Bowling for Soup lately, and I feel like they're such a slept on band. Oh, no one realizes how great they are.
Yeah. Dude, and their singer, I forget his name. He's like genuinely amazing. Like, he's always online, like posting really wholesome shit and like giving people shout outs. And like, mm-hmm. they're just like good dudes that play good tunes, like wholeheartedly.
I like their latest music video is like I forget what the song's called, but it's about getting old. And it was like during the bridge, he talks about how he's too tired to do it. So they just play. And I was like, fucking Bowling for Soup. You guys kill it.
Yeah, they're one of those bands that like kind of ties in that humor aspect, and I love that. I love that they play music, but they don't take themselves like 400% serious. Yeah. Like, I feel like more bands should be like that.
Yeah, I feel like it's a lot of seriousness, and I mean, like, I think I love serious music, but like, you need that break, you know?
Yeah,
you need absolutely.
All right, what lyrics stand out to you on 1999?
The one that just triggers me back to being 7 years old is they're playing All Star on the radio. Yeah. Blink-182 is pumping through my stereo. Cause like when I picture being a kid, I picture All Star by Smash Mouth. Like that is like, if you grew up in the 90s, that was the soundtrack to your existence. Yeah. Like you would hear that song in movies. You'd hear it in commercials. You'd hear it in the store with your mom or your dad. You'd hear it in the car. You'd hear it at school, like on the bus. You know what I mean? All Star was like the banger of all bangers in the 90s.
Yeah.
So that lyric stands out to me. And then there's another lyric. Used to play Nintendo, now I'm paying rent. So it just reminds me of the first time I ever had to fucking pay rent. And I was like, man, this sucks. I fucking hate paying rent. Like, this is horrible.
The worst.
I still play Nintendo, but I'm also paying rent. So
yeah. I liked the first time I paid rent because it made me feel like an adult. But it did. Second time.
Yeah, then you're like, oh, wait, this keeps happening.
Yeah, every single month.
It's all just going.
Yeah.
Yay.
You used to have some money, and now it's just not.
It's all gone.
I do have a question, though. When you guys go into the bridge at the 99 problems part, that's a Jay-Z reference, right?
Yeah, for sure.
That's what I thought.
I was hoping, I feel like Stacey's Mom is a really iconic 90s song, but I don't hear anyone talk about it anymore.
That came out in like 2000.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, I don't know. I was born in 95. That's my...
It, like, all blends. Like 99 to, like, 2004 is, like, all 1 year to me. Yeah, like, it's all, like, I was a kid, and there's music, and there was, like, this weird vibe. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, like, you start liking girls, and you're like, oh, man. Life isn't as good as what it was like a couple years ago.
It's consuming my life.
So with that chorus, like when you jump into it, someone take me back to 1999, was that when you're transitioning from the verses to the chorus and you have that, like, you know, there's that kind of like fill or build right in there. How, like, energy wise, how much energy do you actually put into like pumping into that chorus, like with the first word?
I would say, well, we haven't performed that song at a show yet. Like, we practiced it, but we have not performed it. I think live, hopefully people will sing it. I don't know. So like, I'll probably do it like pretty energetic. I don't know. I've never really thought of that, but, luckily our drummer Caleb is amazing. He plays with a click and he's always like very on time. So I never have to worry about like when I'm going to sing that. Like, I always have like the exact time from him. So we'll see. I don't know. Maybe it'll be energetic. Maybe it'll be chill. Maybe I'll just hold the mic out. I'm not sure.
Whatever I'm feeling that day.
The classic.
All right. Anything to wrap up 1999?
That song and that video, I feel like it got a lot of traction and it made me feel like a lot of us are growing up and feeling the same way. Cause a lot of the comments on the video and a lot of the comments that I got from just anybody, they were like, dude, like, I miss that shit. And it's like, dude, you don't need to miss it. It's still alive. Like, we can all listen to pop punk and just act like kids, even though we're adults. Fuck it. You know?
Yeah. Now we can drink. So you can like add that onto the list.
You can drink. You're right. Play Nintendo.
Yeah.
That is true. We did drink a lot of seltzers for that video. I was definitely pretty drunk by the end of that film. I was pretty fucked up.
Is that your drink of choice, seltzer?
It used to be, but now I'm kind of on like a health kick and I'm trying to drink like way less. I drink like maybe once a week, if that. And if I do drink, I try to keep it very like liquor or like just, you know, nothing with like a bunch of calories or like sugar. But seltzers are usually a go-to because they're somewhat healthy, I guess.
Yeah, you strike me as a tequila guy for some reason. I don't know why.
Dude, so I actually, that's really funny because I used to like swear off tequila. It was like my no-no liquor. Like, don't drink it. You become the devil, because I would fucking do stupid shit when I drank tequila. So I stopped drinking it for years and years. And then like a few months ago, my friend and I were playing pool and she was like, hey, let's take tequila shots. And I was like, maybe. So I took a tequila shot and I got really fucking good at pool. Like, I literally smoked her. I suck at pool usually, but I smoked her. So I'm like, you know what? Tequila's not that bad. So I actually have been drinking some tequila and I'm not acting like a demon. So that's cool.
There you go. That's what Fireball was for me. It was like,
No.
Yeah.
Fireball. Oof.
Yeah, it's
a mouthwash of death. That shit fucks you up.
Mouthwash you swallow. All right.
Yeah. It burns.
Jumping into the next track, we got Staring at the Ceiling.
I'd rather be staring at the ceiling with you.
Cutesy one.
I love this song.
This is such a fun little like happy lucky song.
I'm glad you guys like it. So you were talking about Stacy's mom earlier. Mm-hmm. The intro to this song, when Ricky showed it to me, I was like, dude, this sounds like Stacy's mom. Because if you sing Stacy's mom has got to the intro, it fits perfect. Like, it's in the same key and everything.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, Ricky wrote that. I'm assuming it's about his girlfriend because there's a lot of references to stuff that they do together, and it's really cute. Mm-hmm. I love Ricky and Vicky. They're my favorite couple.
So I was going to ask, like, do you know who this song is about? But now I have another question.
It's about Vicky.
It's about Vicky.
I think. I don't know.
Like I said, we can only hope.
Let's hope so.
With someone like, when someone, because you're displaying the emotion as the vocalist, right? Like, that's part of, like, the most important part about being a vocalist. But how do you take cutesy songs like this, like, from a different perspective and make it your own, you know?
I mean, that's the other thing that a lot of people have felt before. Like, we talked about Meant for Misery. Everyone's felt like shit, but I would say most, if not all people, have either been in love or really, really liked somebody. So I just channel those memories of like staring at the ceiling with like a girl that you really like. It's, you know, I feel like a lot of people can feel the same way, you know what I mean? They felt like love or like that special somebody. I don't know, but yeah, just thinking of like memories of, you know, girlfriends or, you know, like that.
Any fun facts about Staring at the Ceiling?
It's really fun to play. I can't wait to play it live. We actually, when we wrote it, I'm pretty sure at the end down, like the tempo slows down. I'm pretty sure that wasn't in there at the beginning, and then Ricky suggested, what if we like slowed it down and just did like a big woo 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 at the end? And I think that was like a last, I could be completely wrong, but I'm pretty sure that was one of the, like the last additions that we had there. The music video is really cool. I wish more people would watch it. It's literally the DVD logo bouncing like on a screen, and you're waiting for it to get to the corner. You know what I mean? Like that classic DVD logo.
Yeah.
I feel like that video like went sleeper. So I feel like if you haven't seen it and you want to watch it hit the corner, watch that video.
I thought you were going to tease it, and then, like, at the very end, it just cuts off right before. What lyrics stand out to you most on this one?
I really, really love the bridge of that song. Like, literally every line. And I love the melody of it. Like, just that bridge, Ricky fucking flexed on that one. Like, it is so good. I love the bridge in that.
And the transition into it. Like, at first, like, really threw me off, and now I really love it.
Yeah. I love the lyrics in the bridge. I would say the entire bridge is my favorite. Yeah.
The chorus, I feel like, is...
so catchy.
It's incredibly catchy. And at first I was kind of like staring at the ceiling, and then I was like, I kind of like put it in my perspective of like, I might not be staring at the ceiling, but just lying around doing nothing with someone you really care about.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think it just really hits the mark. And staring at the ceiling, like, you know, I don't feel like there's a lot of songs of like love songs about that.
No. One thing Ricky did say when he sent us the demo, he was like, you know, obviously it's like one of our more poppy songs, but he was like, I want the chorus to sound like garage rock, and then I want the verses to be like poppy. So that's why there's like a lot of like tremolo and like poppy, like the vocals are very, very condensed and poppy in the verse, but then in that chorus it kind of like opens up with like some feedback, and it sounds like we're kind of in a garage. So that he was like, he pretty much said like he wanted the dynamic of pop into garage rock, back into pop, back into garage rock. So I think he did that very well with the way he wrote it.
Yeah, honestly, really cool. Yeah, the transitions, but now I can like tell with like the little melodies on top of the verses. I can definitely see that now. How does he come up with melodies? Just something that comes up to him, or is he like kind of strategic with it?
I think it just comes to him naturally. Like, the dude, he can write any kind of song, not just rock, not just pop punk, pop. He can write metal, he can write anything. So I'm just assuming he has like a database of melody in his brain. Like, he's just like, he knows a lot of music theory as well, so I'm assuming that helps a lot too.
My challenge to him is a bluegrass song. We'll see what he could
totally nail it. He rips like country and like random licks like while we're at practice, and I'm just like, what is that? And he's like, oh, I wrote it. And I'm like, oh fuck. That's freaking dope.
Oh yeah, man. All right, anything else to add on this one?
I'm really excited to play. I'm pretty much just going to say the same thing to wrap each song up, is I'm so excited to play this one live. Like, it's really fun to sing. And you know what? You should send it to your special someone. Send Staring at the Ceiling to them and just let them know, like, hey, I'm thinking about you. Just do it.
I feel like that might be why love songs get so popular, because like, it's people sharing
shareable.
Them. Yeah, it's incredibly shareable. Yeah.
Plus, it's probably the only love song that we'll ever have, so... make it last, y'all. I don't know.
The rest is depression.
Actually, no, that's not true, because Ricky, he has a bunch of stuff that is really sappy and really good. So hopefully we get some of those out there sometime soon.
I just came up with this, or like just thought of this, but Ricky is dating Vicky, right? That's too much of a rhyme scheme right there.
Yeah, we've been making that joke for years.
Oh, okay, sorry I joined the party late.
You are, no, dude, you're invite only, you're in. VIP.
Okay, next we got The Way Things Used to Be.
Hell yeah.
It's kind of like your enemy on it with the,
it with is. The one line. It's hard. That one is definitely challenging for both and Ricky to sing, but it's such, I love that song. Like, it's, that was actually one of the songs where when I got like heard the demo, I like got choked up. I was like emotional when I heard it. Like, it was like the chorus just got me real good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious. Like, I want to know if you know the actual story behind the song, but if you don't, then like give your perspective on it.
I don't know specifically. This was one that he just sent over, and we were like, holy crap, that's definitely a good song. That's going to be a single for sure. For me, I mean, it kind of fits in with that nostalgia vibe, but instead of thinking of the past fondly, you're thinking of the present not fondly. You're thinking like, oh my God, like life is like this now. It used to be this way. Like I am stuck. I'm feeling this way. All the good, like fun feelings that I used to have as a kid and all the like levity, and nothing was serious. There were no consequences. You know what I mean? Now when you're an adult, it's like, shit is real. Like shit is really, really real. And I think that's kind of the vibe that Ricky was going for, because in both verses, he references like really chill, easy stuff when you're a kid, like bike rides, night drives, and then it turns into 9 to 5s, which is like a day job. You know what I mean? All that fun stuff. We don't have time for it anymore because we're adults and we have to pay rent. It sucks. But at the same time, we get to think back fondly on the good stuff. But I think that was kind of his take on it, was like, okay, we have all this nostalgia talking about good shit. Let's talk about how empty we feel now. How deep is that? You know what I mean? Like, man, this sucks.
Life really took a 180 on us.
All right.
why does it seem like there are so many people that had like their first serious relationship at 17? Because that's kind of what it comes down to.
Yeah. I think 17 is like, it's that age where you're just smart enough to realize like shit is bad and you can do bad shit and have fun. But like I was saying before, like you don't really have like serious consequences. Like you're not an adult. You know, if you like spray paint a wall, you're not going to jail for like 40 years. You know what I mean? Like you're going to get a slap on the wrist. You're going to whatever. And you can waste time and it doesn't really affect you. But once you hit that 18 mark and you start getting into your 20s, if you waste time like that, it actually affects you. Like it can actually seriously affect your life. So I was kind of where he was landing on that 17. That's just how I saw it. It was like, man, 17, you know, I was like, I considered myself an adult, but I was not an adult at all. Like no one was.
Yeah. You start to think you know everything. And then,
world
comes crashing down at one point or another.
Year after year, baby.
Yeah. I think it's like taking that one step forward, two steps back. It's like, I thought I had this.
All right. Do you have any fun facts of the way things used to be?
We talked about the vocals at the end, ripping out my throat. That was fun. This actually might be a song that we don't play live just because it is very, very challenging to pull off without it sounding very fake, if that makes sense. That song is very, very produced. Like there's a lot of vocal layers and there's a lot of piano and there's a lot of just extras. So like it's a good rock song, but there's just like so much extra stuff that we're probably not going to play it live. But in terms of like emotions and the song itself, I would say that's probably one of my favorite songs on the record, hands down, just because it literally had me almost crying when I heard it the first time.
Would you guys ever play with like backing tracks or anything like that to maybe fill out that sound?
We do have, like when we perform, we do have like some extras. It's not like main vocals or like harmonies or anything, but it'll be like gang vocals and like guitar riffs that are like, sorry, I have the hiccups. I was drinking a bunch of water. It'll be like guitar riffs that like we have Ricky and Pat playing at the same time, but like there's a third riff that is really cool. You know what I mean? Stuff like that, just like little extras. But in terms of like backing tracks, we don't do that. Like it's just extras, like gang vocals and like little instrumental bits that like we can't pull off all at once.
Gotcha. All right. Any other lyrics that really stand out to you on this one?
I kind of have to go back with what you said, the just wanting to be 17 again. Like that would be such a cool experience to go back to be 17 and just like know what I know now. I think that has a lot of imagery behind it. When you hear being 17 again, I'm sure you could think of like 10 things that happened to you when you were 17. So I love that lyric too.
There's something special about that one.
Yeah.
I feel like the worst thing you could tell a 17-year-old is you're wise beyond your years.
No, I'm not.
Like if only you knew all the mistakes I were about to make in the next 10 years.
Oh man, dude, I'm almost 30 and I'm making mistakes. It's all good. I feel like life is just a learning experience for real.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Except that one time you die and then you don't get to learn anymore. But you know, I feel like that comes a little later in life.
True.
Sweet release.
I mean, you learn well.
Sweet release.
All right, nothing more to add on this.
I am all good.
All right, hell yeah. All right, so the one that's not a single, Broken Heart Scenario.
Broken Heart Scenario, in terms of like the style, like I think I was the most excited to go record that and also record the video, just because I was such a little fucking emo kid. Like I wasn't super hardcore into pop punk. Like I liked Simple Plan and like Green Day and Blink, but I wasn't like obsessed with them like I was Under Oath and The Used, My Chemical, like, you know what I mean, like those like stereotypical like they're not technically emo, but like it's that emo vibe. I was so fucking stoked because I got to scream on this song. Like this record doesn't have that many screams, and primarily Ricky was like, dude, yeah, you're just gonna like scream the whole time with like some cleans in there. And I was like, fuck yeah, dude, I get to scream. Hell yeah.
That's why I picked the song, because I was like, all right, we're missing a lot of the screaming. The last record was Scream Bo Bean, you know? It was everywhere.
It was heavy for sure. I would say it was, when you compare it to this album, it was way heavier.
Yeah, when the first single was Meant for Misery, right? Or am I crazy? Yep. Okay, yep. So Meant for Misery was the first single, and I was like, oh, okay, they're gonna take a bit of a softer route on this record. And I was very right. But it feels natural. It doesn't feel like it was a forced thing or that it was like a selling out moment at all. It just felt like it was a progression of a band's writing style.
For sure.
And, you know, the nice thing about like when a band goes softer, you have those new songs and perspectives, but then you can go back to the old shit and then just really rock hard to that too. So I was a huge fan of your last record, and I think it's one of the most underrated records that came. It was like 2018 that came out, right?
I think it was either 2017 or 2018.
Yeah, because I remember thinking that was one of the better records of the year, and I never heard anyone talk about it. So I'm happy that I got a shout out.
I'm glad you liked it, man. Thanks.
Okay.
I like that record a lot, too. I'm a lot more into heavy rock. Like I love pop punk, don't get me wrong, but that's always been my thing growing up, was like just stuff with screams or like chugs or just, I don't know, over the top heavy stuff. So I'm glad you like that record. I love that record.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Getting back to a Broken Heart Scenario, what is your perspective on the story behind this one?
Just going back to that relatability, man. Everybody's been miserable. Everybody's been in love, but everybody's also been miserable because they've been in love. You know what I mean? Heartbreak. Mm-hmm. Just someone shitting all over you. With that song, I don't know who specifically it was about, but we've all been there. You know what I mean? Channeling heartbreak. It's a real feeling. It feels like you're dying. That's a lot of the like lyrics and imagery in the song itself. It references literally dying, like you're front row at my burial, you know what I mean?
Not to be dramatic or anything.
Yeah, like, you know, I think the overall goal was just to kind of, we were talking that nostalgia, just that vibe of like Hawthorne Heights, you know, Taking Back Sunday, just that style of the song and the video as well.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, you got any more fun facts for us?
So that video, all of my band, they were wearing wigs except for me and Pat. So Pat had a beanie on, and I've been growing my hair out, so it was just at the perfect like Silverstein Shane Told length. So I was just like, fine, let's just fucking straighten my hair and it'll just look emo, and it did. So I was pretty stoked about that. Fun factoids too, we straight up watched, like, well, at least I did. I watched like 100, I think it was like 100 2005 emo videos of just like every band on the scene. And like Silverstein was like the one that we were really trying to emulate in the video and also the promo photos. So we actually have a promo photo of us in our emo costumes from the video. It is a like pose for pose remake of a Silverstein photo from like 2005 on MySpace. Nice. So, fuck, I should have sent that over to you guys, but I didn't. I sent the normal clothes ones, but
I mean, you still can.
Yeah.
I actually have it on my phone. I'll send it to you guys after we record. It's pretty funny, but
dude, I stumbled on your website. And I was like, this must be old. And then and I was like, wait a minute. It's just the style.
Yeah, that was what we were going for.
I loved it. I was like, what did I stumble on?
He showed it to me and he's like, this can't be that old. I'm like, I'm
pretty
sure.
What in the HTML is
yes.
this? Definitely what we were going for sure.
Okay, I think you answered this for me earlier, but in the beginning, when you jump back from clean vocals to the more yelling, that's between you and the guitarist, correct?
Yep. Ricky. So Ricky has, I would say he has like 85 to 90% of the cleans on that, but I do sing a couple clean lines on there. But yeah, for the most part, it is Ricky singing and then I'm either screaming behind him or just, you know, doing like a scream.
How difficult is it to jump back and forth between those for you?
It used to be very difficult, but I've done it for so long that now it's just kind of natural. I will say though, we had our first practice in like a very long time because of COVID and it was challenging to sing again. I was like, holy fuck. Like I forgot that you actually have to like really practice. Cause it had been like, you know, months and months since we met up. But with practice, everything becomes easier, whether it's a vocal technique or anything. So just I've been practicing like every day ever since that practice because I was like, I am never gonna lose this shit again. Like I always want to be able to like just sing.
Jump into it. Oh yeah, man.
All right. What lyrics stand out to you on Broken Heart Scenario?
I really like I'm a huge fan of bridges because I like where like Ricky comes in and we go all back and forth, but there's one line that he wrote that just sounds really cool. It's a cycle too late to undo. I don't know why. I just think that's a really cool line. Like when he had it in the demo, I was like, who gets to sing that? I hope it's me. And he was like, yeah, it's you. And I was like, fuck yeah, dude. Cycle too late to undo. And then it's all that which has led me to my broken heart.
I have a quick question going back with the last line for this 7-10 kind of a thing in the demo. Did Ricky sing it like it was sang on the record?
I don't remember. I'm pretty sure he sang it pretty high. Like Ricky has a pretty high range, like he can hit some pretty crazy notes. I'd have to double check. I don't really remember, but I remember he sent it over and I was like, that's really high. I don't know if it was super pitch corrected or whatever, but Ricky can definitely hit those notes. Like he's a baller vocalist.
Damn, dude, that guy seems like the guy to have in your
I was voice. Gonna say you should have had him on instead of me.
No. Christian, we love you too.
Yeah.
Next time, both of us.
Yeah. We like start texting Ricky. He's like, you're nothing like Ricky. Like, All right, Roper, jump into some lines you really like.
So I really dig this verse right here where it's all the lies that leave those lips. I can taste them on your tongue, every single one. And every hand that's held your hips as you convince them that they were the only one of us can leave this town alive, only one of us is going to survive. If that's the last thing that I do, I'll make sure that one is you. Man, I felt that one.
Yeah,
kind of.
I felt that one.
The relatability right. of like
his lyrics are all very relatable. I mean, especially on this record too.
Yep.
Have you ever changed lyrics? You were like, eh, I feel like this would be better this way, or
Usually any lyric changes that we make are just because I fuck up Ricky's lyrics and I do it so many times that he's tired of correcting me. You were talking about our last record, Better Luck Tomorrow. The first single that we released was Keep Your Chin Up. And the chorus is, I thought that after all this time, my life would turn out fine. The real line was, after all this time, I thought my life would work out fine, but I kept saying turn out fine in the studio. And he was like, dude, you're saying the wrong fucking lyric. And I kept messing it up. And then I had a really good vocal take and the guy recording us, it was Johnny Frank of Bill Murray in Attack Attack. Damn. We recorded with him.
Okay.
And he was like, dude, we cannot get rid of this take. This take is really good. Like, we're just going to have to keep the lyric. And we were like, all right, cool. So usually when it comes to lyric changes, it's because I fuck it up like over and over and over. I'm so bad with lyrics. Like when you guys are asking me like, what's your favorite lyric? I'm like, fuck, I got the right like words. I don't remember them. I'm so bad with them.
You actually just start like the completely wrong song. You're like, I like this one.
These headphones are actually just have the album playing so I can just reference lyrics. I don't know what's happening.
What was it like recording with him, by the way? Because that guy's talented.
Oh, dude, Johnny is like, first of all, I love Attack Attack, like still to this day.
Me too.
Like defend Crabcore 20 fucking 21. So I was like secretly, well, not secretly, dude, like, well, the band knew that I was fanboying my dick off. Like I was like, oh my God, fucking Johnny Frank, we're in the same room. Johnny didn't know that, but I was literally sitting there like, I'm literally sitting next to Johnny Frank. This is fucking cool. I was so hype. But he is like one of the chillest dudes ever, like straight up. I don't know if you guys follow Bill Murray, like his solo project.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan.
Dude, mm-hmm. Bill Murray is one, you were talking about underrated stuff. Like Bill Murray is amazing. I don't know why people aren't obsessed with Bill Murray.
Did you like their live album that they just put out on Spotify?
Dude, I was listening to it in the gym like it's 2 or 3 days ago. It's good. They sound
so
great.
Amazing.
Yeah. It's so fucking nuts.
The production on, what was the, it was seven songs, so EP, right?
The EP, well, he just put out a, like a full live stream and put it all on streaming
services. The Hog Cranker's Ball, bro.
Hog Cranker's Ball.
Okay.
Dude. Never forget. Dude, I'm a Hog Cranker. Yeah. I'm a huge Bill Murray fan.
Yeah. Like that was one of the best sounding albums that I've heard, and it was just like a live stream.
But the way I heard that, I had Bill Murray on shuffle, and I don't know, I must have missed that they actually dropped like the actual recordings of it, because I think I watched the live stream, and it was like, whoa, this is sick. So I had it on shuffle, and I was like, man, this song sounds just like slightly different. And I looked, and I was like, it's the fucking Hog Cranker's Ball.
Yeah.
It's live. This is sick.
I almost prefer all the Hog Cranker's Balls. All those,
dude, I love the transitions that they have with like the announcer and shit, like welcome to the Hog Cranker's, like it's so cool.
It's awesome,
they're really
dude.
Cool. I yeah. love them.
Well, while you guys are, you know, you, relating,
you had your time.
That is fair. But I don't know, the one Bill Murray EP I actually listened to was fucking fantastic.
Eggy Pocket.
Yeah, some of the brass on that, holy fuck. Great. I was like,
I recommend basically any of their releases, like they're all good in their own way. Me personally, I think my favorite still, just because it was like right around the time we started recording with Johnny, was Banana. I don't know if you guys like Banana, but dude, Banana's got some fire. Some dang fire.
Extra load of potassium. Okay.
Okay, baby.
All right. Broken heart scenario. Final thoughts.
Emo will never die. Like I love emo music, will always love it, and that getting to do that and like dress up like that was like a 12-year-old like fever dream that I used to have, like, man, I want to wear eyeliner, I want to paint my nails, I want to wear all black, and I finally got to do it, so I was hype.
Hell yeah.
Send it to your emo friends that miss Hawthorne Heights.
Fucking on it. All right, so as a record retrofit, I know we didn't get to talk about all the songs on the record. Fantastic record. I think it's going to go. I think I'm just so happy to see the success that it's garnered for you guys.
Yeah.
But like, final thoughts, anything that you really wanted to add about Retrofit?
Just it's like we were saying, it's meant to be nostalgic. It's meant to be that old school sound. We just wanted to polish it up and do it our own way. And we appreciate everybody's support, like from day one, but especially people that have stuck with us like through this record. Like we've been kind of like waiting to release it for a long time, and people still stuck with us. We were kind of nervous to release it. We were like, are people gonna remember who we are? Because it's been years, like literal years. I also want to thank you guys for having me on your podcast. This has been really fun. Like you guys are really hang out with and chat with, so I would love to come back on anytime you guys want, for real. This has been awesome.
We were looking forward to having you on the show. I think your promoter hit us up, and we were like, my God, settle your scores. You guys were releasing the new music at the time, and I was like, I've already liked your past releases so much, And then he hit us up, and then we just never heard from him again. I said, fuck it, I'm just going to message you. Because I don't know if you remember, but I posted like one of my songs I did, and you were like, this song slaps. And I was like, shared it with all my friends and family. Don't worry about it. and I was like, one of my like favorite fucking artists is like complimenting me. So big thank you to you for coming on the show. Absolutely loved it. We'd like to give time at the end of the show for you to promote literally anything you want. I know you got Blades. I know you got hopefully some upcoming tours. What is going on?
Yeah. All right. So first one, if in the future, I'm probably going to drop solo music. It's going to be under Blades, BLVDES. I have a TikTok under the name Blades Official with the same little V. I've been trying to post some like solo stuff on there, like some snippets. In terms of touring, we do have a couple of shows coming up. We have a show on October 2nd at Legends Bar and Venue. It's in West Side of Cincinnati. We're playing with a bunch of really great Cincinnati bands. We also have a show with Capstan in November at, I believe it's the Southgate House. So I'm really excited to play with Capstan. They're like one of my favorite bands right now. I don't know if you guys vibe with Capstan.
Oh, they just put out a phenomenal.
Dude, that record is sick as fuck. I am like, that's probably gonna be another fanboy moment for me. Is like, oh my gosh, fucking Capstan. So like, I'm excited.
You guys need to jump on the tour with them because they're coming to Iowa. And
that'd be sick.
We do not get enough great bands through here.
Yeah. I'll hit them up. Amazing. I know the guy. I love touring in Iowa. Every time we come to Cedar Rapids, it's a fucking party, dude. I love Cedar Rapids.
I went to college in Cedar Rapids for a year, and it was
hell yeah.
I wish it was as much of a party as a punk rock show, but.
It's all good.
So anything else to promote?
Yes. I'm also involved in some stuff outside of music, and I'm going to shout that out. My buddies that I play Dungeons and Dragons with, they actually started a company called Stormcraft Woodworks, and they are making like the most, I was going to see if I had something around, but I don't, the most like insanely detailed and like pretty wood stuff for D&D. So like stuff to hold your dice, stuff to hold your spell slots, stuff to hold your cards. It's all just like handcrafted stained wood. And so they're going to launch an Etsy page very, very soon. So if you're into D&D or just like tabletop gaming, like board games, and you want cool wood stuff, check out Stormcraft Woodworks. They have an Instagram page, but their Etsy is not live yet, but they have a lot of good shit on that Instagram. And then eventually me and kind of the same group, we're going to do a D&D live stream where we actually like Twitch stream and like live stream Dungeons and Dragons, like to the internet. So nice. I'm excited to do that too. There's not an official like website for that yet, but I'm excited to do that too. But other than that, that's all I got. Thanks so much for having me on, boys.
Absolutely. All right, let's play us out. But now you're gone so long. I'll see you when the summer meets its end. Till then, I'll leave you feeling empty. Tell me something. Tell me anything. Cause I've been dying to let you know. You're my reason to come back home. Are any of you listeners in a small and up-and-coming band? If that's the case, we would love to hear from you. If you want to be a part of the show, we have a nifty Google form you can fill out to give us all the info we need to get your song submitted. You can find a link to the form in our link tree on any and all of our social medias. Now, Roper!
Yeah!
This week we have July Crowd.
Oh, but it's September.
Fuck. With their song See You Around. We already got written down. Let's keep moving. July Crowd is a new pop-punk band from British Columbia, Canada. Dom Walters is the singer/guitar player. Nico Stefanakis plays bass. I'm sure I fucked that up.
Stefanakis.
I can't be it. and Nicholas Fowler is the drummer. We write music inspired by the 90s and 2000s pop punk and punk rock that we grew up on, and lyrics that share our modern experiences and issues. The story behind the song, See You Around, is written about people who don't believe in us, and in turn, people who we feel have given up on themselves. Big things don't often come from small towns like ours, and this song's chorus is just watch me type mantra for chasing your goals or aspirations anyway, no matter how unlikely the odds. That is inspirational.
I like that.
That made me feel really good to read it out loud.
Just watch me.
Just
Let's just listen to July Crowd.
What'd you think?
Steal my thunder. I thought it was awesome. 2000s pop punk inspired for sure.
Yeah.
I told Ray it gave me some. Not Ray.
Who the fuck is Ray?
I told Ray it gave me some
sunlight.
Sugar Roper vibes.
Sugar Roper. There we go.
Sugar Ray vibes.
Yeah.
And then during the na 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 part, I got some Blink-182 feels there. So definitely got some 2000s vibes here.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed that. Nice little blast from the past. And I really, really hope to. I'm excited to see how the band evolves their sound.
Me too.
I think this is a fantastic start to an awesome music
career. Absolutely.
So very happy for July Crowd. I think they're awesome. Yeah. Roper, do you have any thoughts, opinions?
I agree with everything you said. These guys are great. I can't wait till they. I can't wait to see them progress with the same with all of our other up and comers too.
Oh, absolutely. Every new release, I like saying, oh, that's different, or yeah. Ooh, that's a little bit better, or ooh, yeah. What happened? No, ooh. I haven't done that yet. but July Crowd, until we see you again, see you around.
Until we see you around. If you guys would like to reach out to us at any point in your life, we're at PPES Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube and Spotify and anywhere else you can find podcasts.
Pretty much. Yeah. I spent so long making sure that we were available on everything only for no one to listen to us on it.
Yep.
But that's okay.
I mean, the primary link that we send out is Spotify.
Yeah. I mean, but that's just what it is. Spotify is the top dog, regardless of whether we like it or not.
That old TD, you know,
mm-hmm.
Top dog. We celebrated Hunter's birthday this weekend.
Yeah.
With his roommate.
It was a good time. His roommate Chris and I had a very good time. We played some Rock Band.
We did.
We played some I'm Gonna Build Legos.
Oh, I forgot about the Legos.
They timed me. I haven't built Legos forever. So that was fun. Yeah, we just had a good time.
Yeah, it
was some drinks.
Last.
I got pretty drunk. I fell asleep in the middle of a conversation.
He's got a girlfriend now.
I do. Yeah, she's fantastic.
Yeah, she's very nice lady.
Next time you guys hear us, we'll be like, she's gone. Top five songs that make me cry.
You want to know what song she ruined for me?
It's like, Hunter, this is an interview.
You think you guys have been through some shit? She broke up with me already.
No. Anyway, yeah. So that was cool. If you guys didn't know, this is our season finale.
Yeah.
We do 20 episodes every season. We try to like see what we did good in the first or, you know, in the season and try to improve it the next.
Yeah.
So guess what? We're not going to be back for 2 weeks. We're abandoning you, but only for 2 weeks.
Only for 2 weeks.
October 6th is the next time you'll hear our beautiful voices.
Yep.
So in the meantime, social media won't be as active.
Nope.
We'll still talk to you guys.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from you. If you guys have any constructive criticism, anything you want to see more of, see less of, hear more of me, hear less of Roper, you just let me know. No, I think people want to hear more from you anyway.
I don't know.
You don't know? No. Yeah, so we got a lot going on there. It's, you know, a lot of people, just to be straight up and honest, and it's, you know, this is a lot of fucking work.
Yeah.
We love what we create and we love the community that we built, and it's awesome and fantastic. So when we step away for a little bit, it's not because we don't want to do it. It's just because we want to get better.
Yeah, we got to recharge batteries.
We got to recharge some batteries. I got to say, it's like I said, a lot of work. You get burnt out.
And it's been the past 20 weeks, if you think about it, like, so much shit has happened in the past 20 weeks as compared to the first 20 weeks.
I think our lives have evolved in
a lot of
ways that, you know, go on behind the scenes that people don't really see. So not to say that our lives are bad. I don't think that's the case at all.
Mine's shit.
Mine's all right.
I'm just kidding.
So yeah, no, it's, you know, just a lot. But we just appreciate everyone sticking with us.
Yeah.
And you know, more to come, and hopefully we do have some plans that just unfortunately cost money, that both Roper and I are very low on.
Don't have.
October, I'm going to New Jersey to record my EP finally.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for doing that a lot. So after that, it's just going to, hopefully we're going to get our finances together and be able to pull some money towards the podcast.
Yep.
And,
but I do want to say, if you guys have any ideas of stuff that you would like us to talk about,
mm-hmm.
feel free to message us.
Yeah.
And let us know. Because we get together at least once a week. Actually, twice a week. Once to record and then once to like plan out our actual
mm-hmm.
podcast schedule. And we just don't want to run out of fresh ideas for you guys.
Yeah, if you guys bring any ideas to the table, we always write them down, you know. So I'm very organized with our thoughts and ideas and plans for the future.
Yep.
Again, this kind of got a little more like monotone, but like, you know, hopefully some useful information.
Yeah.
We absolutely adore everyone that, you know, helped keep pushing us to go forward.
Exactly.
So when we arrive again, we will be back with immense excitement.
Immense. Full blast.
So much.
So much.
So much. Of it.
So much excitement.
Keep your eyes peeled on our social media.
Yeah. I'm still going to update the
Spotify playlist.
Playlist every week.
Though. Dope. Yeah. So, yeah. We love you guys. Thanks so much. Roper, please make a fart noise with your mouth.